All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and the band is back together. Good times will ensue. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here, and that means you're there, and we are all ready to spend the next 3 hours having some good times.
What is going on?
Here we go. Round one. Bing!
What?
I didn't even get to say hi. You just cut me off.
I heard you say what's up.
No, you just cut me off. I feel like I'm not part of the team now. You guys had 2 days as a team, and now I'm on the outs. Is that true? Is that how it is?
So anyway, everybody had a great time, but you were in San Antonio. We were in Dallas. And then I see this tweet that you came back from San Antonio to shoot your TV gig.
Yeah.
And then drove back to San Antonio. I'm just going to say a nut because I can't say a lot of things on the air.
But I'm a dumbass.
I'm not going to argue that point. What were you? I understand it, but man, that's a lot of driving.
It sucked. I drove 6 hours yesterday to film a 3-minute segment for the TV show, Houston Sports Show, 11:30 every Sunday, Channel 2, KPRC. Check it out right after Sports Sunday. Yeah, but hey, you know what? Why would I be bitching and complaining? Dude, I get to do radio, TV, and comedy. Why would I? I am not complaining about that. I am living the dream. So
good for you.
Yeah, it was a lot of drive. Like, I spent more time on the road than I did actually working yesterday because I did a 30-minute show in San Antonio, and then that was it. So, yeah, I worked like 35 minutes and drove 6 hours. But it's fun. I am not upset about it at all. How was Dallas for you guys?
I had a blast.
Yeah?
It was absolutely a blast. We tore it up. We had a great time. We were able to capture some of it for the listeners on Thursday and Friday. But it was a great experience, a great time had by all. So
What'd I miss?
I'll turn the floor over.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, the hotel was nice. The venue, obviously, was nice because AT&T Stadium just puts NRG to
shame.
Yeah.
So you guys like Dallas more than Houston, too?
We actually brought up, for your benefit, it cleaner? And we actually brought it up with Fred and AJ when we were going to dinner the first night. And discussed it and had a talk amongst yourselves moment.
Uh-huh.
And I think the consensus of everybody was that we agreed totally with the fact that it's cleaner.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I think the first prerequisite that I threw into the mix that the guys agreed with me on is part of it is because they don't have the transient community on every feeder road, and there's not someone with a sign every intersection, every feeder road, everywhere.
There's also not weeds growing out of the middle of a freeway.
But again, I said that. They definitely take the time to do a lot of...
They clean up.
Yeah.
There's no, overpass with vines growing up the concrete. That's a big part of it.
And the whole graffiti thing, we've kind of accepted that to be a part of our culture, and that's a big no-no over there.
Is it safe to say that you guys can now get off my back about loving Dallas more than Houston?
Because
my point was made about it being a cleaner city. I still say the people are better here. We have better people in this city as far as being human beings than Dallas and Fort Worth.
Can't stop, won't stop. So we can move that away.
As a city, but it is cleaner.
We do completely agree with you in terms of, because we said it seems like the whole city of Dallas thinks that they're uppity, River Oaksy, like classier and cooler than Houston. And we heard
of course.
The first night, which completely unbeknownst to me, when I thought we had a late flight, meant we were all going to hit the hay early and then just
No. Are you kidding me? You're hanging out with Nick. You're going out.
And Fred and AJ. So, yeah, so that turned into a totally different excursion, but we actually got into bona fide friendly arguments with people of Dallas who tried to make that point. We were like, you're absolutely out of your freaking mind.
About people?
Yes.
About the people? Yeah.
Yes.
Did y'all get him drunk or high?
We got who drunk?
Who drunk?
Oh, I tried to get. He did drink.
I drank.
My man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I got him to drink back to back nights, but he paced himself, obviously, both nights.
Did you try to roofie him and then have sex with him, Nick?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't do that?
Now, because Barry wasn't listening, Nick.
This is the first trip.
Oh, sure. When you and I hang out, that's what happens. But when y'all hang out, you don't roofie him.
This is the first trip. This is the first trip.
You got to ease him into it.
Yeah, it wasn't Vegas.
And he might be right, because after I left to come home Friday night, because I had an appearance Saturday, Nick was texting me that Patrick Creighton was in rare form. So that's when I think the shenanigans kind of was revisited.
You roofied Patrick? Boy, that's a tall mountain to climb, son. What were you thinking?
I was trying to get AJ. So what happened?
Oh, you were trying to have sex with AJ?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, you just said I was trying to get AJ.
No, you cut me off, sir.
I owed you one.
But Wednesday night we land, and I don't want to be the drunk alcoholic to say, hey, I know it's 12 o'clock, but we still have two hours. Fred was all over it. So AJ kind of went hard on Wednesday and Thursday in terms of drinks. Not hard, but he enough to put him to sleep.
Sure.
Yeah. So he didn't want to go out Friday night, and I was trying to get him to go out, and I suggested he take an Adderall because he felt so dead.
Who, AJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wouldn't do it. Patrick Creighton, hand it over.
What?
Oh, my God.
Creighton did an Adderall?
At 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, no. He never slept.
I gave it to him under the influence, to be honest with you. I should have never given the... But, he did not go to sleep till 10 a.m. the next day. So I'm worried because he obviously he's not up. And I'm like, man, if this guy dies and he has Adderall in his system,
you're in trouble.
I'm going to jail for the rest of I'm fleeing to Egypt. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, at least you got a parachute. You got an escape route. There's nothing wrong with that.
So 12 o'clock rolls by, or 10 o'clock. We try to get him to come and have lunch at In-N-Out Burger. He wouldn't answer. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock rolls by. I'm like, dude, 4 o'clock, I'm fleeing the country. I swear I'm fleeing the damn country. He finally answers, and Alex is like, he's alive, but barely alive.
That is great.
But yeah, he had a blast. It was cool, though, because I got Joel to drink.
Nice.
I got Patrick to ask Patrick if he had a good time. He had a great time that night. Alex Gold is not a big drinker. He was feeling good.
So what it is you're the peer pressure bad influence on everybody.
They would have done it anyway. They just wanted someone to...
They
just needed to push.
Yeah.
He's Julie McCoy. He's the cruise director of the Love Boat. Yeah. He makes things happen.
Okay.
But as far as I'm aware, Patrick Creighton is alive and well.
I saw him today.
I saw him today.
I was like, what's up, Patrick? How's it going? He goes, hey. Like, that was it. He was
tired.
It's been a rough week for him. You could tell.
I was like, all right. I didn't know when y'all got back yesterday because Pat was tweeting. And I'm like, is he still with the guys? Because all he said was, I went to Rudy's Barbecue, and let's just say it didn't take long, but boy, the food was good, but it was only there for about only there for about 4 minutes or something like that. I'm like, is he still with the guys? But evidently everybody made it back safe and sound, and then he went to get something to eat, but at least he was functioning.
Well, that's good. So y'all had a good time, huh?
It was a blast.
Did y'all miss me?
No. Nick, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say I missed you guys, but...
That's a lie.
Well, you were in San Antonio.
I mean, what does that mean?
There's nothing to do over there in San Antonio.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. It was not an eventful week for me.
That's cool.
I was jealous that you guys were all hanging out and partying. And
did you get whiskey spat in your face?
Oh, my God, Barry. Please tell me. You even know about that story? And I know we don't want to bore the listeners. That story is worth revisiting.
What?
Because there was so much shenanigans. We covered a lot on both Thursday and Friday.
Oh, this happened when I was like, y'all told the story during the show?
Yeah.
Well, it happened the very first night.
Oh, the very first night. So, first of all, the bar at the hotel closes at, 12:30, Nick?
Yeah, the bar in the lobby.
All right. And so Nick and Fred were closer to the bar. We were all spread out talking to people. And they're like, okay, we're rallying. We're going. We got directions from the bartender. We're going somewhere else. And so we're
never mind. Go ahead.
So... we get an Uber. That's another story in itself, but we'll leave that one go. We end up in the most seedy neighborhood. Like, it almost looks like dark alleys and everything like that. And I'm going, okay. So we walk in the front door and I go, boys, realize any kind of similarities with all the clientele here? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? And AJ's like, he's looking around. I go, so the couple that walked in front of us.
I know where this is going because I saw somebody tweeting about a gay bar.
Yeah. So okay. The couple that walked in front
so
of us.
Great.
The grapevine.
That wasn't a dude with her. That was a K.D. Lang looking girl that was with her. And so we're like, but you know what? We'll just blend it. We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
So that's when
just
Nick.
Just give each other handies and make out.
No. But that's when.
Right?
And
no?
then, and then of
How
course, there was a lot of blame
out,
going
Tell
back
truth.
And forth about who was it, Fred or that Nick, picked, that was responsible for.
Oh, it was obviously Nick that picked the gay bar.
Because
there's
evidently,
no doubt in my mind.
See, this is, I knew that
there's
was.
But
no
evidently,
doubt
there were two
mind.
Choices.
Fred got the recommendation.
Yeah.
They won't admit that he got the recommendation. Fred got the recommendation.
Talk about It Takes Two. There's two sides to every story because I lived it with Nick, but I heard a totally different story from the other side. But anyway, Nick had said and AJ had said, all right, we're all doing shots. Okay, cool.
Body shots.
So, no. So, and of course, AJ goes wild turkey.
Blowy shots? Were they the blowy?
Oh, God. This is not going to stop. All
okay,
show.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So they're wild turkey shots, and evidently the bartender liked someone because they were pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
So we all did ours, and then they ran out of booze. So the bottles. They were going to get another bottle. So Fred, we couldn't find him because there was like a beer garden in the back.
We know where he was.
Could not find him. Comes back.
He was under there touching people under the stall in the bathroom.
So Nick,
no?
Nick says, Fred, here, we already did ours, but here's yours. And Fred is standing in front of the two of us. Well, you know your whole get rid of the hiccups thing?
Yeah.
Fred did it. He didn't hit the lower lip of the glass. He went upper lip. So the first half of the shot proceeded to roll down like a waterfall from his chin to between his nipples. And Nick and I were like, what's he doing? So then we're like, Fred. So he finds the pie hole, finishes the second half, and proceeds in a matter of seconds to just go.
Why?
All over Nick. From his chin to his ears to his neck to his the middle of his t-shirt. And Nick
Did
and
you
were,
fight him at that point? Because that would have been time to fight. If
he
you spit
could,
on
he
me.
He could barely stand
oh,
up.
Oh, really?
He went to go sit on the couch
there was
and
a
missed
couch
the couch.
Behind us. He missed
How do you
the couch.
Miss the couch?
He hit the arm of the couch. Nick and I made sure he was secure in the couch. We both went to get him water. Brought him water. And then to his credit, he rallied hard. Because the rest of the night, he was standing upright. He was actually engaged in conversations. He tried to play some basketball with us.
That didn't go so well.
No, it didn't go well. AJ threw him three passes. Two lasers hit each nipple, and the other one hit him in the temple.
What?
Like you know how an infant child catches for the first time with palms up?
Yeah.
That's what Fred looked like.
Oh, my gosh. This is
so
outstanding.
So that started the jocularity?
Yeah.
But then when we got...
Oh, you said jocularity. I thought you said... Never mind.
But then we had heard there was a different story. So the next night, the girls from the... that had us all there from the boxing promotions people, great girls, and they were sitting there and they were like, so Fred, if we do shots, are you going to spit them on us? And he proceeded to say that Nick was an a-hole because he apologized to Nick, which never happened, and that Nick didn't accept the apology. I was like, I was standing right there.
That's funny. So were you mad when he did it, Nick?
No.
Nick handled it very well.
Did I seem mad at all?
Did you?
Nope, not at all.
You must have been lit, though, too.
No,
so you were like, I'm good.
At that point, I wasn't because the bar closed so quickly at the lobby bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It closed so quickly that we had to Uber to a quick, close spot. Otherwise, everything was going to close at 2.
But we did have the option of the Hilton bar or this place, and somehow we ended up at this place.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The only reason we were both upset, because the next night when they said that and the conversation was going on, Fred proceeded to told me, shut up, dickweed.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then called Nick and two other individuals at the table a-holes.
Okay.
And then we were like, come on, man. We
were paid $100 for 6 gummies. Fred was a disaster this trip. I'm not even going to lie.
We came to his rescue, and then he poo-pooed all over us.
Oh, I like it. That's good.
So,
but
yes,
it was fun. I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Yeah,
it was
great.
A funny. It was like a real fun night.
Yeah.
Every night that we went out was fun, pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yep.
Apparently, you were trash talking me on Friday, Nick.
There was like 2 minutes of trash talk on the second day. Yeah.
It's very manly of you.
I don't remember.
Talk about me when I'm not around.
You're 2.5 hours away. It was the perfect time to
Nick,
do it.
Yeah, somebody texted and said Nick was motor mouthing Friday, poised to boot Barry from the show, Boo Dallas. Was that...
I don't remember.
I don't remember exactly what I said, honestly. But I did trash talk you a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That's how you are. You trash talk me when I'm not around. That's all right. Joel, you didn't know. You're a professional.
Nope, I did not. That's right.
Okay.
That's absolutely a fact.
I know you had wished me death, Nick, and I hate to burst your bubble, but I didn't die. That's why I'm here. But I told you I had a leak in my tire, cracked wheel.
Apparently, on the new car?
Yeah, apparently I hit a pothole, cracked and bent rim, and Honda wants $500 for a new one.
I thought you were going to go higher than that. Wow.
But I'm like, why would I do that? I can get like custom rims for like $150 a piece. Why would I spend $500 on one one wheel from Honda?
I actually like your rims, though.
They're not bad, but I'm not paying. I'm just going to get some custom shoes put on.
Okay.
I'm not paying $500 for that. No way. Not doing it. Hey, guys, speaking of doing it, though, man, you got to get your workout in. I got a great place for you to do that at. It's called Vortex. If you haven't been out to Vortex, you need to check it out. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. And you're like, well, what does that mean? It means that you get a great workout, and it's like not sensory overload, but you are fully engaged in the whole workout. It's outstanding because they got lights going on to get you in the mood. They got music playing and pumping you up. They've got athletes telling you how to work out and why you know what you're doing and getting you in the mood and keeping you engaged in the workout the whole time and motivating you. And they've got two types of workouts there, boxing and spin classes. That's it. So there's no, like, you don't show up and there's dudes in the gym and they're sweating and they won't get off the machines and they don't wipe them down. It's none of that. You walk in, you do your boxing workout, you do your spin class, and you're out. 45 minutes, full body workout, outstanding facilities, like top notch. And I was reading this. There's these people that travel the country working out, and they rated Vortex their number one pick in Houston as a place to get a workout in. So don't just take my word for it. Take people that are traveling the country working out and rating places. Take their word for it as well. They loved Vortex, and so will you. And they've got a special going right now. For $40, you get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. $40. Unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week at Vortex. Take advantage of that. And then you can figure out what you want to do full-time with them, however you want to work out, whether it be boxing or spin or both. But again, you don't need equipment. They've got everything for you. The instructors are there. It's a great workout. And when you're done, they've even got a smoothie bar that you can get a smoothie on the way out. There's no reason not to go there. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. If you want to call them, 281-501-3094 is the number. That's 281-501-3094. Or better yet, just go online. You can sign up. You can schedule your classes and do everything right there on their website. It's vortextexas.com. Vortextexas.com. When you sign up, tell them I sent you.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started. Segment number two of The Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are all alive and back in the studio. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. The band is back together. And if you want to be a part of the shenanigans, 713-780-3776. HR&P Listener Line. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can always reach us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. One thing I was going to say about the whole Dallas thing is, on my way in, I was thinking to myself, there's no way a boxing match that isn't featuring one, you know, Triple G or Canelo or something like that right. is going to be able to draw. I thought they'd have to give away tickets left and right. I saw final attendance numbers, but it was over 40,000. It was between 40 and 45 or 46,000. And then we had so many different people on the air, promoters and otherwise, that were saying the pay-per-view buys were getting close to a mil.
Nice.
So it was a very successful event.
Sounds like a
event.
Comedy shows that I had.
Yeah?
No.
Did you get that Wednesday night show in, or did they?
The Wednesday night show happened. So like over 30 people came.
Okay.
So that was fun. On a Wednesday, that's not bad. Spring break and all that. And last night was pretty rough. I was really worried I was going to drive out here, shoot the Houston Sports Show, drive back, and then be like, oh, we canceled it. And that would have really pissed me off. But we had the show. There was only like 20 people in the crowd maybe, but hey, whatever. Did the thing, got paid. Want to give a shout out real quick to NASCAR Johnny and his wife.
I saw the pic.
They came out to the show. And then also shout out to Buddy. He's a listener that used to live in Beaumont, now lives in New Braunfels, and he came to the show as well. So shout out to Buddy and Johnny for coming out and showing some support while I'm on the road. Much appreciated.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a good time had by all. Now we're all back and ready for March Madness.
Nope.
Holy cow. This whole thing last night, too. First of all, U of H.
Yeah, you you felt like they should have had a two seed or what?
No, I really didn't. I was just disappointed they didn't win the tournament.
Oh, okay, I thought you maybe felt like.
I mean, look, all that people were going to remember was they lost to Cincinnati again in the conference right. championship game. But you can't. And I was texting with Coach Sampson after the game to say, "Hey, look, turn the page. The bottom line is what's behind you is one hell of a regular season, and you came up short in the championship game. But those things happen. But now go make a run, and everybody forgets about all that too." And he's like, "Man." He goes, "You're right. That's what we're focused on. We're going to go do it." And I firmly believe, I've seen some people say that they're picking U of H to get all the way to the Final Four.
Final Four? And I think they would have been definitely a Sweet 16. I probably would have had them moving on to the Elite Eight. But then again, I know absolutely nothing about college basketball, and I'm not going to pretend to.
I said
before. But just from what I watched.
I said just basically after I wrote the article last week, in the article I said, I can see them being an Elite Eight team. Anything other than that, yeah. I think should be icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But a great year by them that continues now with a three seed, which is the highest seed they've had since the Phi Slamma Jamma days. So
yeah.
Props to them.
Dude, they're doing it. And what I hope is that they don't end up like A&M. And I don't think that'll be the case because this is a hotbed for recruiting in Houston as far as basketball goes, college basketball. And Coach Sampson does a fantastic job of not only with the program but recruiting and you know, keep getting people engaged. But man, you talk about a program that just fell off the map in A&M. They were riding so high, producing great talent, and Billy Kennedy and that crew just fell off. So my hope is that that does not happen.
Yeah,
with U of H,
because now Billy Kennedy got his pink slip.
Yeah,
so he's going to be done.
Awful.
And Shaka now it seems like is going to survive for one more year because maybe. We were talking on the trip, and you're right, it is a maybe. But I was like, who's the next Shaka? Because those two schools could be fighting over their. Who gets first pick of the next big name?
I can tell you who's going to win that.
It should Texas. Be UT.
Yeah, no one takes A&M basketball seriously. No one. Not even A&M fans take. When they win, they're like, "Yeah, we love basketball." And now that they are what they are, they're like, "Come on, football."
But you know, Barry, that's interesting because to me, because we were talking about this a little bit, but both of them are now more known as football schools than basketball schools. Mm-hmm. UT forever and a day. Got a lot of love as a basketball school from T.J. Ford and Kevin Durant and all the different names.
Absolutely.
You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, guys they were able to produce. You just don't see that. You see them building a new arena, and it's going to be similar to the Fertitta Center or smaller venue trying to create that atmosphere again. I just always thought Texas was – everything's bigger. I thought UT was going to be all across the board. Their sports, baseball, everything. I thought basketball is the same thing, but it seems like that's not the case anymore.
I mean, baseball, I couldn't tell you. How
they're
the
really good.
Program.
Well, they're still good. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've always been good. I just didn't know if maybe they fell off too. I think that Texas is one of those schools, and I'm going to get a lot of hate from Aggie fans and save it because I grew up an Aggie fan. I'm a lifelong Aggie fan. But Texas is one of those schools that is an elite and premier program across the board, every sport, and always, and it seems like they always have been. So it is weird to see them take a little bit of a dip.
Yeah.
And especially going out and getting a name as hot as Shaka Smart was.
Doubt.
I felt like that was a can't-miss get
for
them. Well,
because Marquette had a deal in place they thought was Shaka, and then Shaka turned away from that deal to get a bigger, better deal. And I thought, oh, man, if he can do anything close to what he did at VCU, Texas is going to be fantastic. And it just hasn't happened. It hasn't materialized. Sure, he's had some guys leave the program early to get into the NBA, but not like the talent of a Kevin Durant
right.
or those kind of guys. Right. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out, and we'll see who wins if they each are looking for a coach. But we're just getting started, so we're going to continue to roll on. And again, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. By the way, we will have more tickets to the big whiskey event coming up. So we're going to be giving those away. So stay tuned for your chance to win because we always give back to the listeners, and that is something that we can get into.
Yeah.
Faux show. So a half hour down, that's two and a half to go, and we're still going to be here for you. Hopefully you take us wherever you go. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, having a good time. We already know, and it has been, I'm sure, over-consuming every bit of content on every show to this point. March Madness is upon us. The bracket is out. People are going crazy, losing their minds, trying to make the appropriate decisions as they go through their brackets. So we can get to that at some point, but we can run through a bunch of other stuff as well because there's plenty of stuff that we can get to.
Yeah, somebody, when I was saying my rim was going to cost me $500, somebody said hit up eBay. And I did look on eBay for a replacement wheel, and it's like $250, but it was a used. Like every wheel I found was a used wheel for my car. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, for some people, like I'm with you in the fact that because we were talking off the air about potentially repairing the rim, and people will take that risk to repair or get a used rim. And some people, like you and me, actually, would not want to take that risk, drop,
no,
just replace it. So it's up. It's really, it's like that. It's like the whole mentality. Are you willing to buy used electronics? Joel has done, it's not necessarily used electronics, but he's done well with open box TVs.
Correct, right.
So, I mean, it's basically how you approach it, your mentality.
That's why I said rim doctor. I've never heard of that.
There's a bunch of rim repair places that you can use for sure.
And this is why I said, how do you apparently hit a curb? I said pothole, not a curb. Pay attention.
Yeah.
I never said I hit a curb, hit a pothole.
No, and those things happen. But, I mean, and I've told you. I mean, and they used to be a sponsor of the show, and they very well might come back. But American Wheel and Tire are the experts on this kind of stuff.
I need to go hit them up.
And they're going to be honest. They'll let you know, like, we can do this and do it well for you. Or they can just say, because they carry stock rims, too. They might be able to get you a better deal. So,
well just between you and me.
Yeah. And the wall.
You guys, I know. You guys are the only two listening right now. So,
okay.
I don't want to repair it or buy a used one because this is an excuse to buy new rims and my wife won't know. So, because I mean, I told her $500. She was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I could get rims for like $175 a piece. So why wouldn't I just buy those? She goes, yeah, you should do that. And I was like, well, that's what daddy's doing now then. Because my tires are still great. My tires are still in good shape. So
you can put those tires on enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you need to hit up the showroom because they have a full showroom of rims and tires for you.
Where?
At American Wheel and Tire.
Do they?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
It's a mammoth showroom.
I just started researching, like, you know, my year model 2018 Honda Accord, just looking at pictures with wheels on them so I could figure out what I wanted. So
you're gonna roll on 20s with low profiles?
No, but I do like this look. It's just a simple little, that's my car, and that's the wheels.
That's a good look.
So yeah, I might do something like that, a little six spoke action, something like that.
Dude, they have a VIP rim section, rim and tire section.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money.
I
just need something.
But I'm saying,
just put some shoes
at American Wheel and Tire. I'll make sure. I'll make the arrangements so you're treated like a VIP.
Nice.
You'll be in that room eating like your favorite candy and all the snacks and treats and everything.
Up.
And they'll show you what they got and they can do what you're doing with the computer. But yeah, they'll take care
of it. They do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, we can
soon.
Make that happen.
Okay.
Okay. So Corey wants to get in here real quick. He says he's got a shout out. Corey,
okay.
What's up?
Uh-oh. This always goes bad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Corey?
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys for by doing the whole weight loss challenge. I started it this year. I got in a little bit late with y'all, but I did a six-week thing and lost 6.4% body fat.
Dude.
And I was down 10 pounds. Yeah, you guys inspired me, man. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. And to everybody else out there, keep working.
Corey, how'd you do
keep
it?
Eating.
Real quick, how'd
What's
you
that?
Do it? How'd you do it real quick?
Honestly, I used a kickboxing class, and then I did body weight exercises with my son. He's 1 year old, and so like pick
nice.
Your son up and do sit ups with your son and military presses. Like sit up, press your son. They get it. They love it. He's having like you can probably hear him in the background.
That's fantastic.
But
yeah, that's awesome,
yeah,
Corey.
Yeah, I worked out with my kid.
Congratulations,
and,
man!
And ate clean.
There you go.
But yeah, you guys, thanks for the inspiration. I appreciate it, man.
That's great, man. I'm glad to hear that.
I want to give you all a shout out.
We appreciate that,
yeah,
Corey.
Thanks
a lot for the call. And and letting us know that it, because, you know, we know that people get into it and do it for the prizes and stuff, but it's always nice to hear that Corey was just like, you know what, I'm going to do this with the rest of the listeners and lost weight. And that's smart, man. Use your kid, get your kid involved. Yeah. I see, like, moms doing that with, like, yoga. They'll have their kids involved with that. That's badass, man. I'm glad to hear that from Corey.
And a lot of listeners on the Facebook page were saying that they were really, it was a shame that we were all out of town Thursday and Friday because they just wanted to say thanks. Because a lot of them that the first time doing it were talking about how motivating it was and how they saw the results. And then your Chris Householders of the world and Mark Schell and those guys were saying, hey, I didn't lose as much. Well, you're not supposed to because you lost a ton last year. But the fact that you participated again and still took some weight off, that's the kind of stuff we love to hear because that's why we do it.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, so that's really good stuff. So thanks, Corey, for that call. And I hopefully we'll do it again next year because that was fantastic. Now maybe we should start our own for just the three of us because based on scheduling and other things. God. Good Lord.
Dude, I did not eat good this weekend. In fact,
you try to do the keto diet for Nick and I when we're not doing it because that's the only place AJ will go. And all you're getting is just meat, 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 meat.
Yeah, he did the keto diet the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
And y'all let him dictate where everybody ate?
He had the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, he did ask. But, I mean, even when we went to Whataburger on the flight back, he had like a burger with no bread. It just looks so weird to order.
Yeah. I saw his shot from In-N-Out with lettuce.
Yeah, he always gets those lettuce wraps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't eat good. In fact, when I was at the studio filming the show yesterday, they had a monitor there where you can see yourself off screen. I was just like, oh my God, I look like I ate skinny me. Like I just, jeez. Yeah, I gotta take it serious. Of course, I won't tonight. I'll eat back because I haven't seen my wife in damn near a week, so I'll probably get us a pizza and we'll just, you know, eat our feelings, but whatever.
Man, yeah. So starting today, I'm like, okay, I'm getting serious again because the whole week and the travel and everything else, and then you don't work out because you got something going every minute of the day. I felt awful. Everybody's weighing in to end their challenge, and I'm going, oh, no, I am challenged, and I need to get back on it.
So. Yeah, no doubt.
So other than that, first thing that came to your mind other than the tournament, because like I said, we'll get to the tournament.
Uh-huh.
Well, anything that pops up on your agenda real quick?
Oh, yeah. You know, ever since I said I felt like the Warriors were vulnerable.
Whoo, baby.
And that there were two teams that I thought could beat them. They went out and rolled both teams.
Handled.
They didn't roll the Rockets. That was a close game. But they did roll the Thunder. And that was not a close game. And I was like, well, thanks a lot, Golden State, for making me look like a complete dumbass. Now I really hope you get bounced in the playoffs.
Only because it's late in the season, that's why. Because it probably had a playoff-type atmosphere in that game. I didn't see it, but I would imagine.
But we talked about it, Nick, and I said, you and I talked about it before we left, and I said, they will play better without Kevin Durant simply because they've been there, done that with this group, and turn it up a notch. And I said to AJ when we were getting on the plane, and Nick, because Nick, fantastic, had his iPad. We were watching it on the plane, so we didn't miss the game. And I said, I feel like this game for the Warriors is what the Rockets win in Golden State was without Harden. They can make a statement, go, look, whether he's with us or not, we have enough pieces to do this.
Yeah.
It was one thing to beat the Rockets, like you said, in a close game, but to steamroll and snowblower the Thunder.
That's a bigger statement to me.
That was impressive.
But I know, I'm not worried. Like, there's, especially with the addition of Daniel House, which I didn't get to watch much of the Timberwolves game last night. But with the addition of House, you know, the depth that provides as well, and you've been clamoring for that this whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not scared as a Rockets fan of the Warriors. I'm really not. I don't feel like this team is scared or intimidated of the Warriors either. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think these players get it in their head whether they're beatable or not. And I honestly believe that from the coach all the way to the last seat on the bench, for this Rockets team, they feel like they can beat the Warriors.
Well, I think the other key thing that I take away from what you just said, because I agree with you, is the fact that we know who they are. Mm-hmm. We know what they are going to do or what they're capable of doing, and we know what their ceiling is. You don't know that with this Rockets team because they're still acclimating because everybody has been hurt, dinged up at different times. They're acclimating their rotations. He has options now. You thought Amon Shumpert was going to be that defensive stopper, athletic guy. He hasn't panned out. But, oh, by the way, because House is now back on the roster, he replaces him and gives you another option. And then you can go with, like, who's the hot guy? One night it might be Gerald Green. If he's missing shots, then you go to Shumpert. If he's not doing it well, then House. And because House plays both ends so athletically with that youthful kind of exuberance,
mm-hmm.
he may be a guy that trumps them both and pushes those guys to the bench. But he's got so many options now he didn't have at the start of the season that this roster, we don't know how good they can be. But the good news is that there's a whole lot of optimism on what they could be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm excited for them in the playoffs. I feel like if they don't get, you know, into the second round, it's going to be a disappointment for me.
I agree.
I wouldn't have said that at the beginning 100%. Of the year. But if they don't get to the second round of the playoffs this year, that's definitely...
Very disappointing.
Am I the only guy, though, that doesn't like the matchup with Utah? Like, you could get a lot of opening round matchups. I just don't like that. If they're healthy, I don't like that matchup because they can play the Rockets style. And when you got a guy like Donovan Mitchell, and Gobert matches up real well with Capella, they have a lot of guys that can, like, match up and give them some problems.
And honestly, you could have made that argument for the past three seasons, right?
Well, but they were dinged up. Right. Remember last year they didn't have Rubio. They had injuries throughout. If they're healthy coming in, I think that's as a team that we all thought at the start of the year was probably going to be a top four seed.
Yeah.
It sucks if you got to play a top four seeded team in the first round.
They're scary. I mean, Utah is scary. They present a different kind of matchup for the Rockets. I just don't know if they have the firepower to hang, especially if the Rockets are in any way, shape, or form, if their shots are falling.
Yeah,
I don't know that Utah can keep up. And I know defensively they're a much better team than the Rockets. But I saw Jonathan Fagan tweet something out. I think it was Fagan who said that in the last whatever games, Rockets are like fourth in defensive efficiency in the NBA.
Really?
So their defense has really been elevated. I think House has had something to do with that. I think Shumpert has had something to do with that. Obviously, getting everybody healthy now is going to improve that, I think, because you've got guys that, like in-house and stuff that can score, but this is also a team that these are guys that can play defense.
And Fareed, if Fareed just gets healthy, he gives you a second coming of Capella in terms of statistically about the same, but yet so much more athleticism and activity that helps you so much defensively when he can be the skinnier PJ Tucker guy guarding multiple positions with energy.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But another good win, but now they're on the road. Atlanta tomorrow night as they go on the road for two and then come back for the Spurs on Friday night. So it'll be interesting to see how this week goes.
Yeah, good times. Hey, you know what? I want you guys to check this app out that I've been using. It's called Get Upside, and it is totally free to download. And I've had listeners already reaching out to me and tell me how much they enjoy this app. So this is what I want you to do. If you're at work, go ahead and pull your phone out. Go to the App Store, type in Get Upside, go ahead and start that download. I promise you it'll probably be done by the time I'm done with this spot. But Get Upside is an amazing app that gets you cash back on the stuff you're already buying. Here's what I want you to do when the download is done. Type in promo code Barry. Go to the promo code section of the app, put in my name, Barry, and I want you to do this because I'm going to save you a ton of money on gas on your first fill-up through the Get Upside app. Get Upside gets you cash back on the things you buy like gas and food. So when you're going to fill up, you pull up the Get Upside app, you pull up the map, you search an area where you're at, and you find a gas station that has a cash back offer. That's how easy it is. You go to that gas station, you fill up, you claim the reward, you pay with a debit card, upload a receipt, boom, done. Super easy. And you're getting cash back. I've had listeners send me, they've already have $80 that they've gotten in cash back. Clarence sent me a thing, two uses going out to eat, and he's already got $5 cash back in his pocket. My wife got 30 cents a gallon the first time she filled up because she used promo code Barry. Guys, don't leave money at the pump. If somebody walked up and offered you $5 at the pump, you would take it, wouldn't you? Absolutely you would. So why would you not download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, and start getting cash back at the pump? Over 500 gas stations around the city, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back in your pocket every time you fill up. Download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, start getting cash back. Thank me later.
Know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still rolling through hour number one, three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Having some fun, fellas. NFL news of the day.
Yeah.
The Bengals have cut linebacker Vontaze Burfict which I think is perfect because one, you have a young and inexperienced coach coming in, and you got a guy that has been a problem both on and off the field and in the locker room, and that's probably a smart move.
He'll be a Brown.
You know what, man?
They don't mind. They're riding high. They don't care.
They're going out
and getting Kareem Hunt. They could be a Raider. Or a Chief. Hi, Tyreek Hill. Getting investigated. Yeah, he could be a Raider, too. You're right.
So, Breshad Breeland, one of the guys that you and I had mentioned as a guy in the secondary the Texans could possibly use. Nope, he's signing with the Chiefs, so he gone.
Mm-hmm. Big Texans news. Did you see this? They're bringing in A.J. McCarron.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what?
To talk. No, that's
I think that's like, actually an upgrade at backup quarterback.
Sure, and that's why they're doing it because, you know, you've got a mobile quarterback in Deshaun Watson who could be prone. He's had injury issues in the past, and you get out there and you get hit a couple times, you get banged up. They want a guy that they feel like gives them a better chance to win a few games than Brandon Whedon, so they're going to talk. There's no – it hasn't been inked. It's not done, but they're bringing him in. And I forget – I think it was – I don't know if it was Rappaport or who I saw. I retweeted it on my Twitter if you really care to know what the source was.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're going to look at the Texans. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at upgrading a spot that when you have a quarterback like Watson, you are going to be prone to use a backup quarterback on occasion. Even in the middle of a game, if he gets just a hard hit on a scramble and he's got to come out.
Athletic version is always of a backup quarterback is far better than Whedon simply because he's just a big immobile guy and he's a little older. I'm good with the move. If that's the move you make and you save some cash along the way, possibly good either way. But we all know that, you know, as good as Deshaun Watson is, he has gotten dinged up early. Yeah. So you need that kind of insurance policy. And then a couple other moves. Randall Cobb visiting with the Cowboys today as a possible replacement for Cole Beasley. That's interesting. I don't know where the Cowboys are getting the money with all the different moves that they are have to make with trying to re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
Zeke, Dak are all on their radar. And Amari Cooper, as we were talking about when we were in Dallas, that was a big topic with a lot of people. And then this is the one that, Barry, I bring it up because you and I talked about it. The Raiders have mutually agreed to part ways with tackle Donald Penn.
Mm-hmm.
We have said over and over again, and he was going to be available possibly last year, during the year, go look at him. Go kick the tires.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see if the Texans finally at least investigate making some kind of an upgrade on the offensive line. He's out there. If nothing else, he's experienced. He could bring something to the table you don't currently have.
I saw that you also tweeted out a stat of money.
Second most money remaining in free agent under the cap is your Houston Texans.
Yeah.
They have done nothing.
They went from fifth to seventh to second, and that tells you something. It tells you that they're being conservative right now, that they're not spending money. Yeah.
And I understand, and Nick and I were talking about this last week, I understand that it looks like I'm only assuming their main focus in the draft is going to be very heavily weighted in terms of the offensive line, but how much can you do in which you're going to get guys that are going to contribute right away on your O-line as opposed to getting at least one, especially such a vital position like the tackles? Find some NFL experience out there.
Well, and I don't know if you guys probably talked about it last week, but then they went out and also the Texans added a third member for the secondary, Breann Body Calhoun.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. I try to look at the best. That's exactly
my reaction we had was like, okay, another one-year deal. You're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle again.
Darby would have been great. Calhoun would have been great. That would have moved my needle.
I know Darby re-signed with the Eagles.
Yeah, Calhoun signed.
I saw a lot of the guys that we had on our list signing elsewhere, and none of which with the Texans. But if you are going to focus on the secondary first and or with free agency, there were plenty of guys out there. Again, NFL experienced secondary members that could help you more than, look, if they're going to draft in the secondary, let's make sure that they have some more experts on staff than they did when they drafted Kevin Johns.
Yeah, and I said Calhoun, I meant Callahan. He signed with the Broncos. 3 years, $21 million. I would have gladly paid that for him.
And have him come back home?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that deal?
Bryce Callahan at $7 million a year would have done me just fine.
So look, they're absolutely in the crosshairs, and it for a very good reason. They have the second most cap money. They did not do anything of any significance so far in free agency. Yes, the draft is coming up, but there are still guys out there where you could try and make a difference, and there are more cuts coming. There are teams that are still trying to kind of juggle their cap space right now. So maybe some more offensive linemen are going to break free. even if you don't sign all of them, I think Josh Sitton was available, the former Packer lineman who, again, with NFL experience, maybe he's come down a little bit, but he may be someone you at least want to work out to see if he's available. There's guys out there. At least check them out.
Yeah. I was seeing some different things coming out about the draft where talking about what the Texans might do. And they talked about two options for the Texans, and maybe, I don't remember who wrote this. I think it was the Texans Wire. And it felt like a reach because they were like, well, maybe Brian Gaines is just, he's got big plans. Like, you know, you're probably not going to get Jonah Williams in the spot that they're in. You're going to have to move up to get him. So maybe they move up and get him. Or maybe they do that and they go after a guy like Greedy Williams for the secondary from LSU. And I'm like, first of all, you're not going to do both unless you're mortgaging and getting rid of the rest of your draft.
Right.
But, I mean, the Greedy Williams pick at the spot they're at makes a lot more sense.
Be great.
But the point is they were like, well, you know, maybe they're just not doing anything because there's a plan. And we talked about that. But damn, what's the plan? Like,
and we said to rely on just one plan. You got to have three plans because just like in free agency, someone's going to move up or take a guy that you had earmarked to be your first pick. And then you got to adapt on the fly. And if you're not ready, bye.
And it's rare that you get, you know, a rookie offensive lineman to come in and make a huge impact. And this is a team that needs that. Like, they really need a guy like, what's his name, from the Colts to come in and just take the league by storm. And it just doesn't happen all the time.
Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're putting all their eggs in the draft basket, and that worries me for a team that is supposed to be closer than further from, you know, a conference title.
Now, let me bring this to you, okay? ESPN does this column on the one glaring need of all 32 teams.
Okay.
So it's not earth-shattering that obviously the Texans
O-line.
Yeah. And it says left tackle, to be more specific. And it says Texans general manager Brian Gaines has already said he expects... I'm glad you're sitting down. Brace yourself for this. Brian Gaines expects Shontrell Henderson to start at right tackle in 2019. And you know this now, before you even get into the draft or think about other options that might make you better? And it says, and Houston does not have an obvious candidate to play on the left side.
No.
Oh, joy to the world. So they've solved all their problems. Oh, my goodness. Houston has allowed an NFL-leading 62 sacks last season, and the Texans have three picks in the first two rounds to find players or a player who can protect Deshaun Watson going forward. Okie dokie. Here we go, kids. That's going to be a fun scenario to play out. And just, I mean, it's like watching a traffic accident. You can't stop looking, even though you know it's not going to be pretty.
You've got guys like, you know, Julian Davenport, Martinez Rankin, and you're going to go ahead and add Shontrell Henderson to that list of guys that gave up record numbers. And you're like, yeah, we'll probably bring at least one of those guys back. Why would you bring any of those guys back? This is also what concerns me is they're out there signing Browns. Former Browns, guess what? The Browns sucked for many, many years with all the guys you're signing as part of their defense. This is an awful strategy. It almost makes the whole Patriots of the South thing look genius now because at least that team won.
Yep.
You're keeping your own crappy O-line and signing bad defenders from bad football teams of the past.
There's some interesting things on this list, too. So
it's a bad strategy.
When we come back, we'll open up our number two because I want to get you guys' opinions on this. They have the Colts' biggest need, the Jags' biggest need. Very interesting both ways, but that Colts scenario brings up some other possibilities that we can talk about because I can see something that maybe the Texans could dig out of this hole they're digging for themselves.
Okay.
So we'll see if we can get to that. Hey, by the way, we're also going to have your chance to win the Whiskey Social giveaway for two tickets to the Whiskey Social. Hour number two. So that means it's coming up right around the corner. You have your chance to win. Stay tuned right where you're at. And not only are you going to be entertained, but you get a chance to win and really get entertained as we go forward. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.